Welcome to the Team ASE podcast. I'm your host, Tony Mala. And in the next 10 minutes or so, we're going to be sharing some information, insight, and inspiration on a variety of topics for individuals already working or thinking about a career in the automotive industry. But there's a lot more to ASE than you may be aware of, and we'll explore the many facets of Team ASE in future episodes. The Team ASE podcast is brought to you by ASE, the National Institute for Automotive Service Excellence. ASE is perhaps best known as the organization that provides certification credentials for automotive professionals. Just like ASE, the Team ASE podcast offers something for automotive professionals everywhere. Join us as we explore what's now, what's new, and what's next in the automotive service industry. It's a journey that won't just help you make a living, it'll help you make a difference. It takes a team to build the future. Welcome to Team ASE. In our last episode, we talked about the upcoming 2024 ASE Education Foundation Instructor Conference, scheduled for July 15th to the 18th in Minneapolis. That week, CTE instructors from across the nation will gather to take advantage of the training, networking, and fellowship the Instructor Conference is famous for. In this episode, we'll take a look back at the 2023 event and talk with Eric Chester, a workforce researcher, author, and award-winning speaker who provided the keynote address last year. Eric's specialty is finding and keeping great employees, and we sat down with him at the conference to talk about the important insights and information he shared with the instructors in the audience. Eric, welcome to the podcast.
Well, hey, it's great to be here, Tony. Thanks for having me.
You're used to talking to employers, I know, about finding and keeping great employees, so this was a little bit different for you. Our audience is mostly instructors, and you had some interesting messaging about how the workforce has changed. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, you know, I've been able to see it from different perspectives because I, too, am a former educator. I taught high school for 6 years. I was also a football, wrestling, and a track coach. For the past 20 years, I've worked with employers. After the first 10 years, speaking largely to high school, but some college students, did 1,500 different presentations all around the world. Then I started getting asked by companies, retailers, fast food companies, manufacturers, et cetera, saying, hey, we hire young people and we're struggling. And that was back in the early 2000s when nobody really knew what this new generation was all about. So I wrote one of the landmark books called Employing Generation Y, spelled W-H-Y, as in, why do I have to work on Thursdays? Why do I have to wear that stupid looking uniform? And hey, wait a second, I've been here for 3 days. Why can't I have your job? So that book kind of took off. And since then, I've worked with all kinds of organizations, companies, trying to help them figure out how to find, develop, and keep great employees. Well, today it was a little different. This is now an opportunity to go back and work with CTE educators and teach them what I've learned, which is what employers are really looking for in their employees. So we spent a lot of time on that. We did talk about how work has changed. I mean, Tony, what was your first job?
Oh, gosh, I started working in a Sinclair gas station when I was 15 years old, sweeping floors. That's how I got into the automotive industry.
There you go. And I'm sure we'd have, from your listeners today, you know, tons of stories. Everyone can remember their first job. Well, I went back. I wanted people to think about their first job and then think about the way this new emerging generation is coming into the workplace, because so many things have changed. And we were just hit smack dab in the face with this pandemic, which changed the world of work, not just during the pandemic, forever. You know, for example, people want to work from home. And some people might argue, well, you can't, you know, fix a car from home. Well, I disagree. I have a Tesla. The rear window wasn't going down. I called Tesla's service department and bam, they just put in a new software and fix a problem. Some are probably working from home. So yeah, people want to work from home. That was one of the big changes. People really like that. And then we talked about the gig economy. How many people want to be their own boss and they take gigs, whether that's selling their stuff on the internet or driving for Uber or Lyft or DoorDash or what have you, or maybe designing websites and putting it out there on a open source website like maybe Fiverr.com or whatever. All these people that now want a gig job. So that certainly changed. So we just talked about how the world of work has just radically reshaped, changed, and why that may affect and impact the attitudes, the beliefs, and the core values of the students that the people listening to this podcast are probably having in their classrooms.
And this is one of the reasons ASE found someone like yourself to talk to our instructors. I've often been fascinated by the differences in generations. There can be huge gaps in communication skills between one generation to the next. And as you had said, being able to cross generations when it comes to their values and what they consider to be important, but most importantly, transfer what the current employers consider to be important. You talked a lot about core values, for example, and how they might be different from one generation to the next, or at least in perception.
Well, the scenario that, you know, we wanted to put people through is, you know, take the employer side of the equation, because, you know, if you're an instructor, you're actually in the manufacturing business, and you've got raw materials coming through your factory every day. Now, the raw materials are the students, right? And you're supposed to, in your factory, put these ingredients together so that by the time that process is done, this period we call graduation or transitioning or moving on, whatever, by the time they're done, they're supposed to be able to find employment. That's what CTE is all about. Technical education is by the time they're done, they have a basic working knowledge. They may not be experts, but at least they have a basic working knowledge and they should be employable. Maybe it's doing oil and lube changes or whatever, just to, like you said, wet their feet and get into it. So we want them to look at how work has changed and then what their role is when it comes to helping these young people attain the core values that employers are looking for. Because most employers would tell you, yeah, I want someone who's got the technical skills, but I need someone who's going to show up. I need someone who's going to be honest. We need people who are going to do what I say. And they're struggling with the core values, the attitudes, beliefs, the perceptions of the incoming workforce. Not that we can lay it on them because, Tony, they're our kids and our grandkids. You know, I mean, we did this. It's not anyone else, it's us, but they're struggling in the workplace.
I was talking about the generation gap earlier. Nowhere more obvious than the teachers who are teaching students that are, in many cases, could be their grandchildren, you know, at this point.
Right.
But I think it's important for the instructors themselves to be aware of how things have changed. And you did a great job doing that. You talked about how we should focus on five core things to do. We had innovate, motivate, and
integrate.
Integrate. Thank you. And I just thought that was great advice that you shared.
Well, thank you. You know, I wanted to take it a little bit further. I love the theme. Each of those words ends with A-T-E. So I said, if, you know, we're going to do this wordsmithing, let's come up with eight eights. So I came up with five additional eights. The first was to illuminate. Basically, to illuminate why these values are important, how they serve the young person, whatever values that they believe employers want from them, not what you want out of your students. What do you think your employers want? And naturally, we went through it and everyone agreed. They want people who are dependable, they show up on time, take responsibility, they're honest, they'll adhere to instruction, they're coachable, etc. So we looked at those things and said, okay, so what are you doing to illuminate what those elements are and why they're important for these students to have? So you're illuminating, right? Illuminating the target. Then we talked about inculcating, and inculcating is such a great word. I hope people really look it up because it means to instill by persistent instruction. And when you instill, it's not just something that you think of or you can answer on a test. It becomes a part of you. And inculcating is through a process of repetitiveness, not so that it's boring, but that you're hitting people in a number of different ways so that sooner or later someone goes, oh, I get it. You'd be surprised, Tony, how many times I did youth programs and there'd be adults in the audience and then the kids would come up and they'd respond afterwards like, wow, that was really something. And the parent would stand there dumbfounded. It's the same stuff I say all the time. And I'd go, they just heard it in a different way.
Yeah.
And that's really what inculcating is. It's like they're going to hear it. They're going to see it. They're going to know what that's really all about.
Uh-huh.
We talked about the importance of communication. Now, communication is a two-way street, right? That you're not just going to be the sender of information, but you're going to listen and you're going to engage and you're going to respond and you're going to ask questions. So how important that is to be an educator in today's world, you've got to be an expert communicator. That doesn't mean you're the fountain of knowledge. They're empty Coke bottles. We stand in front and we're going to fill them to the top, put a cap on and send them out. It doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
It is a two-way street. So that was definitely something that we talked about. Then we talked about the importance of demonstrating, right? And demonstrating is you lead by example. And whether you know it or not, you're always leading by example, whether or not you mean to or intend to. Because half the time, we wonder why our students, you know, they take days off and they don't show up. And then we have to ask ourselves, do I take days off? Am I showing up? Am I on time?
Mm-hmm.
What about the way they're dressed and they appear? Am I looking like the model of professionalism? Am I the way that I want them to be? And everything we do is being modeled. And we can't just tell them to put on safety glasses. We got to have our safety glasses on. We can't just tell them to wear steel-toed boots if that's required. You've got to dress, feel, act, and live the part. So we talked about demonstrating. And then the last one was about celebrate. And what that says is young people today, Tony, you know, they're coming into a workplace and oftentimes they see it like, wait a second, I got out of school. Aren't I supposed to be a rock and roll star now? Where's all the glamour and the glitz that I was promised? Well, they were sold a bill of goods.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that work has to be a negative place where it's just, okay, no fun here. We're going to look for ways to celebrate things that are going on well in our workplace, that we're going to look for ways to celebrate achievement and accomplishment, especially when somebody demonstrates one of those core values that we find sacred to us.
Mm-hmm.
If it's reliability and somebody is reliable in terms of putting their tools away, cleaning up, we're going to celebrate. We're going to let everyone know, hey, wait a second, man, look at this dude's, look at the way he cleaned up today. Hey, Al, let's give a hand for him, man. This is his fifth day. Nobody knows how to clean up his shop better than Jeremy or whatever that is. So being able to celebrate and put the spotlight on those things is so critically important. So that's what we talked about. That's hopefully what I helped inculcate today.
Well, you did a great job for sure. And, you know, for those who couldn't be here, you're an award-winning author. Where can we find your books?
Well, the simplest way is just go to ericchester.com and all my books are on there. I've got books for youth that are coming into the workplace, and I have books for people who are managers, employers, et cetera, and looking for ways to go, how in the world do I recruit, train, manage, motivate, and hang on to the labor force? And we're not talking about executive managers and lawyers and architects. We're talking about people who do the work, who are installing the mufflers. And we're talking about people who are delivering the pizzas, who are actually getting their hands dirty doing the work. Those labor jobs move America, and there's not enough people who are passionate about it and training that workforce. So that's what it's all about.
Well, you'll get an amen from me on that. We've been talking with Eric Chester, a workforce researcher, author, and award-winning speaker. And Eric, it has been a pleasure. Thank you for your time today. We really appreciate you being here.
It's been my pleasure, Tony. Can't wait to subscribe and hear all your podcasts.
Thanks again. Have a great day.
All right, you too.
I hope you enjoyed today's Team ASE podcast. For more information on how ASE can help you grow as an automotive professional, visit the website at www.ase.com. You'll find information on the latest developments in ASE certification, how the ASE Education Foundation is working with career and technology educators to prepare the next generation of automotive professionals, and much, much more. I'm Tony Mala, and thanks for listening.